Welcome back. Pull up a chair and join us at the table this week for another episode of Paper Pencil Dice, a tabletop role-playing podcast.
Welcome back to Paper Pencil Dice. Last time, we ran into, our heroes woke up and discovered that it's been a while, a long while, much longer than they expected since they had last gotten into their altercation in Nishtun, and unfortunately when they awoke, they are down one member. But there appears to be a few other people who might be potential members of the, I think, what do you guys call yourself, the Platypus Gang?
Yeah.
It's the Platypie Gang.
The Platypie. Oh, yeah. Important distinction.
Platypie Gang, yes. Another one.
But before we dive into the action today, let's go around and do a round of introductions. So first of all, Aether, do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Sure. My name's Brian. I am playing the role of Aether Solaris. He is a Seer Elf fighter. He's kind of a little delirious at the moment. He just woke up after a very long time of being unconscious. So hopefully he will regain his strength and be ready to engage in some combat here this time.
All right. Cool. Thank you. And then Jethal, do you want to go ahead and give an introduction of yourself?
Yeah. My name's Chris. I'm playing Jethal Zahn. I am the wizard of the group. The wonderful wizard. I'm still trying to, kind of take in everything yet. I'm still, I just woke up recently. I'm just trying to get my head straight, basically, and still recover a little. I'm still not my 100%, so.
All right. And then up next, we will go with Tegan.
This is Tegan. My name is Chris. I'm the other Chris. I'm still wearing the same brown cloak. It's pretty tattered and worn, but the cloud that was hanging on me last episode is starting to lift a little bit. There could be a couple of reasons for that, but we'll find that out in the different episodes.
And up next, Tabitha, do you want to go introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Jess. You may remember me from the Christmas episode. Episodes, I guess. There's more than one. And I play Tabitha Leafwalker, a halfling ranger with a European badger animal companion. His name is Francis.
Yeah, you're pulling double duty. You're playing Tabitha and Francis all at the same time.
Yep.
And you're, by the way, your role playing of Francis, top notch. Got to give you
top
credit
notch.
For that.
You like that growly?
Absolutely. Last but not least, Tormir, do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hi, my name's Fred. I'm playing the dwarf monk Tormir and just kind of waiting around, just making some tea, seeing what's going to happen.
Sounds good. So last time when we left off, Aether had just woken up and informed the rest of his group on what had happened and what led up to him at least being found, and the rest of the party was filling him in on how everyone got here, and that's where we last left off. So do you guys have any other questions for Hammond or Belatius or anyone else at this point?
I kind of got most of what I thought I needed answered. I don't know if, and I know Tegan, you had mentioned maybe we wanted.
Yeah,
have any other questions?
No, I don't. Most of mine are for Master Gathis, or at least Teak, to find out what's going on since we've been out of contact for a month.
Teak is here, so you could always ask Teak.
All right, so Teak, I haven't even thought to ask because I'm completely out of sorts. Why are you here, and how's it going with Mather Ganthus? I didn't realize it's been a month since we talked to him.
Well, so he kind of explains and he straightens himself up, trying to make himself look a little bit taller. He is actually slightly taller than Tabitha, too.
No. Oh, okay, sweet.
Yeah. Which also means he's taller than you.
Well, yeah, it does also mean he's taller than you, too.
But I'm
you're still taller than Francis.
You are still taller than Francis there, too.
I am twice as tall as Francis. I just want to clarify.
Until Francis stands up on his hind legs.
And then, yeah. Anyway, let's not talk about that.
So anyway, Tegan kind of straightens himself up and he explains, well, so I've been working with Master Ganthus trying to figure out what the system that is currently containing the Artimatter is, and we have at least discovered that it's not from this world. We're not sure at this point if it's interplanar or if it's on this plane but somewhere else. We're still trying to figure out exactly what it is. Unfortunately, the containment was, at this point, it probably is leaking a little bit. So while it is still contained, from what Master Ganthus told me, there are things that are happening to the surrounding landscape. That's at least what Master Ganthus told me. I haven't seen anything major that explain. But yeah, there's weird stuff supposedly either going on or going to happen. But yeah, Master Ganthus has this thing, and he kind of holds up this little wooden disc. He says that this should be able to communicate back to Master Ganthus through whatever the system is, but I haven't figured out how to get it to work yet. So if you guys want to take a shot at it, you're welcome to.
I'll take it from him and pass it directly over to Jethal.
Yeah, I'll take a look at that. Sure, yep.
Jethal, do you want to give me an Arcana check?
Absolutely. Let me...
By the way, it's been more than 24 hours since you did get those temporary plus one bonuses. A lot longer than a day. So those bonuses are no longer active at this point.
Okay, that's fine.
I loved my plus one in a cult that I couldn't use.
I think I already had it removed anyway. I rolled 17.
That's a 17.
I rolled a 5.
So you realize that what this disc is, this is essentially, this can operate a single sending once per day back to a single source.
Sending.
So what it gives you the ability to is you can communicate back to, at this point in time, Master Ganthus, as far as you can tell, back to whatever system he's operating there. So once a day, you can send a message up to 25 words. And you get a response of up to 25 words. So you have the ability to do that once every 24 hours.
Sure. Okay. Cool. So yeah. So I tell people this is a way we can communicate back to Mr. Ganthus. But it has to be short and sweet.
Yeah. So you guys can use it now or you can wait to use it till later. It's up to you.
Also, it's once a day use.
Oh.
It's not continuous.
So if we tell him we've got the item, he doesn't know, he can't send us anything back?
He will get a response. So we can send something and get a response once a day.
So we tell him we got the stone and see if he wants us to come back or go somewhere else?
That seems like a logical choice. We get up to 25 words.
Yep.
So we have to make it short, but not... it can be a little bit more descriptive. Do we want to tell him about Kandal?
Yeah. So, accidentally rose Kandal, got the stone, got a cool sword. Where do you want us to go? I don't know. Something like that?
Yeah, so let's see here. So
I've been writing down what you said.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually writing down what I want.
Oh, you write it down. Because what Tegan said is accidentally woke Kandal, got the stone, got a cool sword, I don't know.
Yeah. So I have
Thanks,
half
Tommy.
Stone, hard stop. Kandal was set loose, hard stop.
Is this a telegram?
Yes.
Have the stone. Stop.
That's exactly correct. And then what you want do.
You realize we don't have to, speak in guttural language. We can actually use real language when we have 25 words.
I know.
Not 25 characters.
Well...
Ye old tweet.
What shall we do? Question mark.
So, all right, do you want to put that in the chat of Roll20 there so I can see
yeah,
it?
Yeah, let me...
We have this done. Kendall is set loose.
That's only 12 words.
Okay, what else do you want to send?
You don't have to send the whole 25.
Oh, no, we need to fill it out. Taking it short.
We paid for these. So,
13 words with the word filler. Filler, 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 filler.
Filler, filler, filler. Oh, I said filer on the end, sorry.
Filer. All right, so we'll send what you said first. So you send, we have the stone, Kandal is set loose, what shall we do?
Mm-hmm.
And you get one moment.
I don't know, I'd do a lot for a Klondike bar.
Right?
What would you do?
Would you now?
So, like, while he's doing that, is all the kids made it out? So, I don't know. I was thinking, does anybody know if, like, the whole town made it out? Did the gargoyle or the ghouls or the undead kill the whole town? Did like, I just, all these questions that I've been thinking to ask, and I haven't done it yet, so.
Did you guys fill in Aethir? With the information that you gained by asking questions from...
Right, Matt, no. So far, no. Aethir knows nothing that hasn't been told to him in-game.
Oh, nuts.
So, we pick... we're still sitting there by his side?
I mean, Aethir's probably up and going. I mean, Aethir, you're feeling sore, but mechanically, you're fully functional.
Sweet. You're now a robot. You are now robot.
You are fully operational.
Data would be proud.
Power on self-test completed.
I mean, I would have filled in just a little bit that I know. Like, I obviously broke the news of Hup and I'm assuming you would be somewhat hungry / thirsty. So, you know, we go have a drink.
Yeah, and I talked to him about the sword. He can probably use it way better than I can, seeing as how I don't even think I can use it that well. I don't even think I'm proficient with it. So we might talk about the sword a little bit and what the cool stuff had happened when I used it. So Aether, you can use this. You can use the sword, right? That heals you back when you like poke somebody.
Yeah. All right. Although we should probably have somebody. Why was this sword in the room along with Kendall, and we should probably have somebody look into it.
Yeah, so, well, my understanding is from who was it? I think Belatius or Hammond, maybe. I don't recall. One of them told us that the sword was one of the ways that Kendall was defeated the last time.
Belatius is kind of walks in the room at this point. Yes, there is actually many legends about that particular sword. Right as he's beginning to talk about it, though, you get a message inside your own head there, Jethal, that Sweet. Says this.
I say, oh, I'm receiving a message. Hang on, hold. Artimatter containment is weakening. You have a week before it gets worse. Take care of your affairs and come when you can. Bring Teak.
Say anything about the stone?
I mean, he needs the stone, remember? We need the stone to fix the containment.
Don't we need like 5 of them, though?
Yeah, but one...
How are we going to get 5 stones in a week?
I am assuming one would help.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense.
So, it appears that he would like us to come back to deliver the stone.
So Jethal's receiving messages in his head?
Yes, I have this special thing that I can talk to Master Ganthus. It's wonderful.
It seems really disturbing. Is he like the Harry from Third Rock from the Sun? He's our communications officer.
Beep, beep, wow, beep, that beep. Was a dated reference.
I know. I mean,
20 no. years from now, when someone comes back and listens to this episode, they'd be like, what's Third Frock from the Sun?
Are you going to say incoming message from the big giant head every time we get a...
No.
Show me what you got.
That's not what I do.
Anyway, all right, so yeah, but Balasius comes through and he says, so that sword, as far as I know from legends, and I do like to trade in stories, and I have actually heard stories about that very sword that you wield there, Tegan. I believe it's known as the Scimitar of Thirsting Sands, if I'm not mistaken.
Sounds fancy.
It was once wielded centuries ago by an advisor of Pesh, who is the third sultan of Nishtun. The name of this advisor is lost to time, but the fate of that advisor is not. So Pesh was sometimes called the Desert Dragon. He was arrogant, and no matter how many treasures or trinkets he collected, it was never enough. He was willing to risk anything to get more. He, at one point, was planning on raiding one of the neighboring nations. I'm unsure which, but that nation had a much stronger military than his own. And his advisor knew that should he go and invade, he would start a war that Nishtun would easily lose and probably would be destroyed or captured. And he advised Pesh against going there. But Pesh, out of his arrogance, instead stole his advisor's scimitar and cut the throat of his advisor using the advisor's own blade. In the advisor's final breath, he cursed Pesh, telling him that his hunger would never be sated, and only the taste of the desert shall accompany him for the rest of his days. Legend has it that any food or water turned only to sand in Pesh's mouth, and he died shortly later. Now, I believe that sword has also had many other adventures and legends it's been on. So, I know one of them is that Kundal was gravely injured by it. Apparently, it is extremely effective against those no longer living. But I would be willing to wager that that is one of the keys and probably one of the things that he still fears to this day.
He did mention that in the vault. I have a weird request. Can someone bring me some food? I want to try something real quick. I want to try a bite of something.
Does anyone have anything to eat on them?
I'll run to the kitchen and bring back something.
Okay. You bring back like just like a, you know, dish of berries or something like that from the woods.
Put it in my mouth. I'm guessing it doesn't taste like food.
It actually crumbles in the sand in your mouth.
Awesome. Okay.
So are you saying this blade is cursed then?
Would be the my assumption, because I know that when we attempted to operate on Tegan, we couldn't remove the sword from his side, no matter how hard we tried. And additionally, we were unable to feed him anything when he was recovering. It was only by Teek's actions here that he was able to survive. And Teek kind of like lifts his shirt and like gestures at one of the wounds under his shirt. And he goes, "It was nothing. I was willing to make sacrifices for your survival."
Is there a way to know how to lift the curse of a weapon like this, or something that we could do?
Every cursed item has its own conditions under which the curse can be lifted, but there is a magic, generally divine in origin, that can be used to remove any curse, potentially, as well.
I'm a little concerned for Tegan if he cannot eat or drink.
So Tegan's a little worried about Tegan, too, so... So I've got a cursed... blade that, so am I gonna like die in 2 days because I can't drink water or eat food?
You would have died long before now had we not been able to figure out how to sate you.
How have you been sating me?
And Teek goes, well, by impaling myself on your sword. Every single time I've done that, you came back from the brink of death. Color returned to your sides and you started breathing much easier at that point.
Is this, does this have to happen all the time? What if he doesn't have the sword? Does the curse drop, or is he still cursed?
Balasius says, I believe the curse is there until it's lifted, regardless of whether the sword's in its position or not.
I tried to move the sword from your side, and it got heavier as we moved it farther away.
Okay. Well, I mean, let's get back to Master Gathis. Maybe Master Gathis knows something. Unless someone else knows another route to lift the curse. Is there another group around here that would know more about curses?
And I, not that I'm immediately aware of. You might be able to find one in maybe one of the neighboring cities. But before you go back to Master Gathis, Belacia speaking, there is something that I would request assistance from you all. It should be a relatively short request, but on your way, if you would be willing to accompany my apprentice Tabitha, there have been some strange beings that have been stalking the area around my cabin that are not normally found around here, and I'm not sure what they are or anything else. I have a gut feeling that this might be related to either your stone or whatever quest you're on. But I'd like you to accompany Tabitha and investigate what it is and dispose of it if possible. And Tabitha, is there anyone else that you'd like to bring with you? I know I'll send these three. I request it personally as a favor for helping, you know, protect you for this time. And I know I think Hammond is eager to stay here, take care of the children, but...
Would Master Tormir be interested in coming with us?
Possibly. I know he's been a little restless without anything to do here, so, I mean, he might be interested. Couldn't hurt to ask him.
And how long do you think this will take?
Well, it's probably about a 3-hour walk from here.
Okay. I think we can manage that then.
Tabitha, it's in the second largest of the clearings within the woods. You know where that is.
Okay, I know where that is.
Excellent. Do we want to take an afternoon? I don't know what time it is.
It's about midday right now. About midday.
Do we want to take an afternoon to get ready and then leave tomorrow morning, or do we need to do this now?
So having just rested and gotten up, you probably would like to take some time and get your spell preparation done and things like that. So you would estimate it's probably, especially for those of you who are spellcasters, probably a good idea to wait a little bit. Maybe take off tomorrow morning.
That was me suggesting we wait, just nonchalantly.
Just ask.
All right, let's go talk to Tormir first and see if he's willing to join us.
You find Tormir just outside, sitting quietly by himself, meditating.
Don't mean to disturb you, Tormir, but we have a favor and a question for you.
It's not a disturbance at all. So what do you need to know?
We are embarking on a quest a few hours' walk from here. We would like your assistance from a protection standpoint.
You need not ask anything more.
Awesome. Tabitha, is there anything else we need to know about?
Not that I can think about. While you guys are resting, I may go and hunt for some more food to help feed the masses.
So Tormir will probably take off in the morning. Ethir still needs to rest up his strength, and we still have some spells to prepare for tomorrow.
Well, that's understandable. I'll make preparations on my own to get ready.
Fair enough.
Excellent. I will retire. I am hungry. I want food.
I'm going to retire at noon.
I'm not actually retired, but I am going to go get food and...
all day.
I am still very worn down, so I am not going to do anything, because clearly I need to rest.
Is anyone going to do anything before tomorrow?
I would be hunting, but it's not something we have to necessarily cover.
Okay. Yeah, nothing to cover.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll just be preparing for tomorrow and using my ancestral longevity or to use study up and prepare myself for nature. So that'll be my skills chosen.
Yeah, you better be prepared for nature.
Toramir, are you going to do anything in preparation for tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm actually going to head out into the woods a little bit and just forage up some, you know, food and supplies, so that way I'm not having to take from anything in the area or from the cabin.
All right.
You can come with me, and I can show you where some of the best the berries and where the animals are.
Well, that'd be fantastic. I might be able to show you a thing or two.
Mm-hmm. Of my home woods. Yep.
It's with fresh eyes that we can see things from a different perspective.
Would you like to lead the way?
But it is your land. I'll just immediately comment.
All right, well, we'll head out in whenever you are ready.
And as we head out, I will unintentionally walk a bit quicker than her, because I forget that she's not quite as able
to keep
up.
She's pretty fast for being short.
Not as fast as a monk.
Well, that's true. That's true. It's hard to be faster than a monk.
So, all right, so eventually you guys go out, you find, you know, plenty of things, and probably even get an animal to bring back, and we will jump to tomorrow morning, and dawn breaks, and you guys are wake up and are ready to go.
Excellent. Shall we embark?
Sure.
Well, before we head out, would you like to sit down for tea first?
I would love a tea. What kind of tea do you have? Anything?
That's a great question. Jasmine tea, green tea,
herbal
oolong tea.
Jasmine sounds wonderful, actually.
All right, I'll get a pot going.
Excellent.
Very hot.
Hot tea.
Hot.
So Tormir, what kind of adventures have you been on? Do you have any good stories?
That is for another time.
Oh, but we're waiting.
I don't want to ruin my reputation with you guys already.
Well, I'm sure you have some ones that paint you in a good light.
Well, there was one time I was just stumbling around in the forest, minding my own business, just examining nature and for all that it is, and I actually stumbled upon a couple of giants who were having an argument. And, you know, they turned at me and thought I was just nothing, you know, just wanted to push me aside and probably kill me. But I actually convinced them to have a sit down and found out that it was two giants who were having a war over a territory and was able to negotiate a peace between them.
That's impressive.
Then afterward, they tried to kill me and I ran as fast as I could. But, you know, it's what happens.
Of course. Giants. Who can trust them?
Is there anything else you guys do before you head out, or you guys head out?
I drink my tea.
All right. So you guys make it through the woods. You realize Tabitha's a pretty good tracker and a pretty good leader of the woods. There's very few areas of these woods that she doesn't know almost innately. She's lived here more than half of her life, so it's pretty apparent that she is far more than an expert of these woods. And eventually you come across this small area where it looks like some of the trees have been just torn down or almost like just knocked down. Also, some of the trees look like they've been, for lack of a better term, aged. Simply like there's like a small portion of the bark of a fallen tree that, you know, the tree looks like it's more or less freshly fallen. You can even still see a little bit of sap coming off the base of the trunk where it broke. But there's like a spot maybe about the size of a fist, maybe a little bit larger, that looks like it's been completely rotten and overtaken by fungi. So it's a freshly fallen tree that has spots on it that are complete, that look like they're maybe, you know, years old from a fallen tree as opposed to a freshly one.
Can I make a nature check?
Absolutely. Anyone else wants to make a nature check, they're also welcome to.
All right. I will
as well. Oh, shoot. I roll a 20.
Okay.
27.
All right. And Aether, what'd you get?
A 12.
A 12. With a 12, you can definitely tell that it's an age tree, but really there's not a lot of additional information you get out of it other than this is definitely supernaturally aged somehow. Toramir, it looks like this is something that has not necessarily aged the tree, but more warped it, and it is in something entirely unnatural. And Tabitha, it looks like this is probably a creature that was natural at one point and has been completely warped and is warping anything that comes in contact with.
So I look at the tree and I tell my companions that this it looks like this was done by a natural creature that looks like it has been somehow corrupted, possibly. Because you can see how the sap is still flowing on this side, but right here you can see this little area that looks like it is has been rotted. And so that's not a normal progression with the sap still flowing on this side.
As Tabitha is explaining this, another tree nearby falls over, and this monstrous being with four legs, looks like it's probably maybe like a cat or a bear, or at least it was at one point. It looks like its entire body is mutated into this weird, grotesque being. There are several tentacles, at least five or six, coming off of its back. And one of the legs is kind of turned into a tentacle, and it's just kind of this giant pulsating mass. There's eyes and mouths and things like that just shifting around. And then its entire front half just opens up into a giant gaping maw at the same time. And rears back up on two legs and starts charging towards you. So, we are going to go into initiative.
Excellent.
So, everyone, please give me a perception check for your initiative. And we, Tabitha, we will have Francis go on your turn.
Okay.
So, we'll just go with your initiative. And the monster...
I'm not seeing a perception check.
It's off up to the sort of upper right on your character sheet.
Yeah, on the character tab. And there's actually like a perceive or initiative that you can click.
So, Tony, you want perception or you want an initiative check? Which do you want?
Well, use your perception for initiative. So, a perception initiative check, yes.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, I did.
It's fine.
Same thing twice.
It shouldn't make a difference. Unless you have feats that feature
a lot of us. I got a 23.
Okay. So, I'm going to go through here. Jethal, what'd you get?
A 15.
15. Tegan, what'd you get?
7.
7?
Yes, total.
Alright. Tormir, what'd you get?
I got a 20.
20. 20 even?
Correct.
Aether, what'd you get?
I got a 15.
15. What is your modifier, Aether?
2.
Alright, and Jethal, what was your modifier?
6.
6. Okay.
You have a 6 for dexterity?
No.
Oh, perception. Sorry, I was doing perception. 7.
You have a 7 modifier with you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, and last, Tabitha.
23.
All right. Well, then. So, Tabitha, you get to go first.
I've already had my bow drawn, and so, I'm carrying it, and so then I draw it back and fire, and also set Francis to attack.
Okay.
All right. Hold on. I'm sorry. This is.
All right. I will run Francis for you. Okay. So can you guys all see the battle mat?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
80 feet. All right. Is what it looked like you said to the monster.
So yep. I'm going to be doing the hunted shot. Hold on.
Okay. So just information for both you as well as for the listeners. So when you have a companion, like an animal companion, there is a command that rangers have that they can spend one action to grant their animal companion to take two actions. So essentially you can take two actions and your companion can take two actions.
Or you can take your three, and your companion can take none. So, you're doing the hunt prey?
Right, which is where I can... I'm going to basically put a target on the prey that I am seeing, so then I get bonuses to it.
Okay. And I believe is hunt prey, I believe is one action?
Yes.
Okay, so that's your first action. And then what are you going to do with your second action? Are you going to do the hunted shot?
Yes, I'm going to. Okay, what so would I roll for that? I'm sorry, I'm...
So you would roll your weapon attack, your bow, I believe.
Okay.
So it looks like on the first shot you rolled an 18, which is not a hit. Does the hunted shot give you a bonus on the attack roll? Doesn't look like it does. It just gives you the ability to ignore penalties. And then the second shot is only a minus 3 instead of a minus 5 because of your hunt prey. So you rolled a 23.
It's a plus 2 bonus to perception and survival check.
And then so it looks like you rolled a hit with a 20. How much damage does that do, Tabitha?
It is damage of... So critical damage would be 12.
Well, it was just normal damage.
Oh, I'm sorry. 6, then.
All right. So you successfully deal 6 damage to it. And then Francis has 2 actions. He has a movement speed of 30.
How far away is the
creature? It is 80 feet.
So you would use both movements to get him over there.
Okay, so you're going to move 60. All right.
And then the range on the bow is how much?
It's 60 feet, but you are allowed to shoot within the first 2 range increments if it's a hunted prey with no penalty. So 120 feet for you.
Nice.
All right. That is all of your actions, Tabitha. Is there anything else you wanted to do?
I believe that covers Francis's actions and my actions.
Believe so, yes.
Okay. Yep, we're good.
All right, up next is Tormir.
Not exciting, but I will take a 60-foot move with 2 move actions and enter Mountain Stance.
Okay. What is Mountain Stance?
So Mountain Stance is an ability that provides me plus 4 to my armor class, but it does cap my dexterity bonus to armor to 0. Okay. And I get a plus 2 circumstance bonus to being shoved or tripped.
Okay. And what does it look like when you go into Mountain Stance physically or like appearance wise?
So it's a wide, powerful stance, low to the ground with arms pulled back to their side, with arms pulled back to my side. I'm trying to remember the name of the actual Kung Fu stance, but that's basically the gist of it.
Drunken fist.
That's it.
Okay. So is that all your actions there, Tormir?
Correct.
Okay. So next goes the monster. He's going to use one of his movement actions to come up to you. And then he's going to try to hit you with one of his tentacles. Let's see, does a 44 hit you?
Ooh.
A little bit.
Does it crit? Does it hit you by more than 10?
Yes.
Okay.
Tis only a flesh wound.
Tis only a flesh wound.
Oh, the problems with Tony
it's
being
nice knowing you.
Tony always rolls well.
All right. Ow. That deals 20 damage to you.
All right.
Dude, he just got here. Don't kill him on the first 20 minutes, dude.
I have made a tactical error.
All right. And the second attack does a 20.
I voted for Francis.
I'm sorry. Does a, I apologize, minus 5 of that. Does a 17 hit you?
No.
Okay. So his second attack misses. And up next is Aether.
All right.
And no, I wasn't trying to kill you. I rolled a natural 20. That's not my fault.
You just happen to do that a lot.
All right. Let me see here. I only have a 25 move speed, so it'll take a while to reach him. So I guess I'll just move up to him and say hi. And that's my turn.
Do you want to move your character on the board?
Yeah.
Here. Right. And is that all three of your actions?
Yep, that's in order to move 60 some odd feet, I need to use three actions.
All right. Up next is Jethal.
Yep. So I'm going to... you guys moved up to him already, so that's unfortunate.
I was going to fireball him.
I want to... I am going to move slightly. So I'm going to move about 30 feet, so it's just one of my movements. And then I'm going to do Ray of Frost on him.
All right.
And let's see here. Yeah. So that probably doesn't hit. It's an 11.
That is not a hit. It's not a critical miss, so. But okay. It is not a hit.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. So. And that's my turn.
All right. Up next is Tegan.
All right. I have him at speed of 25 also, so I can't even get as far as Jethal yet. So I can't really help them, so...
I mean, you could take multiple actions, right, to move.
Yeah, right. 25, 50. Yeah, I just need to be within touching range to do some of these spells, like Bless or Magic Weapon. I'm going to do Bless on Tabitha. And give her a +2 to her attack.
So Bless, I believe...
Plus
when,
how many?
Let me look.
So Bless affects a 5-foot square around you,
yep.
But you can widen it by 5 feet for every round that you... for every additional action you spend concentrating. And Bless, I believe, takes 2 actions to cast. Is that correct?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. So you have a 5-foot aura there.
Yeah. It's... One plus one to your attack roll, Tabitha.
So it's right now Tabitha's not in the aura. Are you going to spend your third action to widen it?
Yeah.
Okay. So now it is a 10-foot radius around you.
Would that even hit me?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Based on what he drew on the map.
Can you guys see the aura around him?
Yes.
Yeah, but I'm not there.
You're right here.
You're still back there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking down at the lower part.
Ah. All right.
Sorry,
so
my...
that's fine. Tegan takes his 3 actions, and that is your turn. So we're at the top of round 2. So Tabitha, do you want to go ahead and take your turn?
Yes. I am going to shoot again at my prey. So I will be doing the double shot, and then I will also have Francis. I believe he has to move up a little bit more and then attack.
Yeah, he would have to move up and he could get a single attack at that point.
Okay. And then he's just probably going to use his claws and his teeth for that. I don't know if he gets... I'm not sure what he actually gets on that.
It looks like he has a...
I'm not sure if it's like claw bite or...
No, it just... He can either bite or he has claws.
What would be the most damage?
The bite would do the most damage. The advantage the claws has is if you're doing multiple attacks, they have less of a penalty on the second attack.
Okay. Well, since he's only has one, I will just do bite.
Okay.
For one, I will do have claws. So then I'm going to shoot twice. All right. And that was a +2 for my attack?
Correct.
+1 for a bless.
Or +1, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So that was a 22 that would get on my first attack.
Okay, that's a hit.
And then a 30 for the second one. That was a critical.
And that is so you rolled a natural 20 on that, so you add another 10. So you got a 40 on your second attack. So that is a critical hit on the second one. So, what's your normal damage on the first one and your critical damage on the second one?
6 on the first one and then 10 for the second one.
Okay. So, 16 damage.
Whoop, whoop.
And so when you're doing that kind of double shot attack, what does it look like?
So, it would be a flurry of shots that would be fired one after the other.
Okay.
But it's not even like a pause. It's just a pull out of the quiver, the arrow pulls out of the quiver, knock back the bowstring, let it fire, then knock the other arrow, pull back, and fire. It's a split,
so
quick shot.
You, there are now three arrows embedded in this thing. The one thing you notice, those of you, especially those of you close to it, also, Francis got a good bite out of him, but then he took a big chunk out of him, and then he kind of spits it out as though it tastes disgusting. But you recognize that these arrows are just kind of like moving around on its surface as though the skin itself is moving along the creature's surface.
Yeah, creature.
Now that you're closer to it, Aether, you happen to notice this. The skin and the way it moves on this thing is very similar to that Artimatter you saw in the tank back in where Master Ganthus is. Up next is Tormir.
All right. I will start with a flurry of blows.
Okay. And mechanically, how does that work?
So it's one action to take two attacks.
Okay.
The second attack will still have the multiple attack penalty.
Okay, so what did you roll on the first attack?
22.
That's a hit. And the second attack?
A 7.
7 is not a hit. 7 is, in fact, a critical miss, if that matters. How much damage do you deal?
8 bludgeoning.
Okay. This thing looks like it's getting hit pretty bad. All right, and that was one action to take those two attacks. What would you like to do with the rest of your turn?
I'm going to really attempt to try and summon something from myself and make a third attack.
Okay.
Which is a 16.
A 16 is not a hit.
Okay. And then I will offer to aid Aether on his next attack.
How does aid work? Because I don't think we've done that mechanically this campaign.
So it's a +2 circumstance bonus.
Okay.
With the check.
So you just have
depending
to make
it. Depending on. Oh wait, no, I couldn't actually. So I take that back. I will actually just take a movement and okay. Try to not get hit again.
Okay. Sounds like a good plan.
And just move around him.
All right. So you kind of punch him once, kind of dodge around him, and land on the other side of him. All right, so he's going to take his turn, and he is kind of confused by your movement, so he's going to go for the large metal armored thing that's over here. And he's going to take a swing at Aether. So first attack. Aether, does a 22 hit you?
Well, let's see here. Yes.
All right, so then he deals 8 damage to you.
Okay.
And then his second attack, does a 10 hit you?
Nope.
And then his third attack, does an 11 hit you?
Nope.
All right. So that is its turn. Up next is Aether.
Wouldn't have those been -5 and not -10?
Yeah, I subtracted that from the rolls themselves.
Okay.
So his first attack, he gets a more of a bonus too if it's his first attack. Because it's one specific type of attack.
Oh, okay. That church. And then,
yeah, I know.
All right. Well, I'm going to use my first action to draw my falchion. My second action will be to attack. So let's see if I can hit this guy with it. Does a 22 hit?
A 22 does hit.
All right. And that will be 7 damage.
Ready?
All right. And then for my next action, I'm going to take a brutish shove attack. Okay. That's going to be a 13.
Okay, that is not a hit.
Okay. And that's all my actions.
Okay. You want to, like, raise your shield or anything?
I'd have to draw it. That would require an action.
Okay. Fair enough. So that's 2 of your actions. Did you want to do anything with your third action?
That was 3. Draw, attack, and attack.
Oh, draw, attack, and attack. Got it. Okay. Sounds good. All right. Up next, then, is Jethal.
Yep. So I'm going to move ahead again. Only about 20 feet. So it should be within
Yeah, so I'm within range of within 30 feet of him now. And I'm going to use Produce Flame on him.
Okay.
So I rolled a 22 to hit.
That is a hit.
Okay, and that would be 6 damage.
Okay, he takes 6 fire damage.
All of my turn.
Alrighty. Well, you did some good damage to him, so that seemed to hurt him pretty good. All right, Tegan, it's your turn.
All right, I'm going to do a triple move and see if I can get... Is that allowed? Can you do a triple move?
You absolutely can.
All right, I want to move 75. How did you get the line to come up?
So 75 could put you... Well, 70 could put you right next to the monster.
No, I don't want that. I want to be behind the badger and behind...
Too close!
Yeah.
There or there?
One square over from that one you have further south.
There?
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
All right, so you're kind of positioned just to the side of the badger and...
Yeah, I'm trying to get my...
Next to it there.
Yeah.
All right.
Wait a minute, if I go here... no, he's too big. Okay, never mind. That's right there.
All right. And... All right.
You have a plus one now.
Okay. And that was all three of your actions, Tegan?
Yep, that's it.
All right. We're at the top of round three now. So, Tabitha, you no longer have the bless effect.
Right. So I'm going to, once again, shoot at the tentacly monster. Okay. And then I'm going to have Francis do the claw attack. 2 claw attacks.
Yep. Sounds good.
He gets a plus one to both of those.
All right. So for my first shot, I am going to be firing, and I got a 22 on that. And the second one is a 19. I am on fire.
All right. So Francis gets a 14 and a 17 on his attacks, and he misses on both.
Did you get the plus one?
I did not, but that still misses on both. Your first attack that you rolled, a 22, does hit. Your second attack, which has a minus 3 to it, would be a 16 and does not hit.
Boo.
So how much damage did you do on the first attack?
I did 2.
2 damage. Alrighty. Anything else on your turn?
That would be it.
Alright. Up next is Tormir.
All right, and I forgot to do this last turn, so I'll be using Flurry of Blows again and activating my Stunning Fist.
Okay.
I misheard you. I thought you said your Stomach Fist.
That's later.
Okay.
Alrighty.
25 and 20.
They both hit.
All right, so he will have to make a DC 19 fortitude save.
All right. Well, DC 19. Did he have to make it once or twice?
Once.
Once? Okay. He gets a 23.
Darn. All right, and then I will just go ahead and flail at him again.
Okay. How much damage did he take from those attacks, by the way?
He took a combined total of 18 bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
Whoop, whoop.
Well, you can flail at him again, but as you're about to, you notice that he goes down. So.
I'm just going to put another one in there for good measure.
All right, that works.
I'm going to tell him to wait before he does that, and I'm going to pull out my sword, and I'm going to do it so that I don't have to get anything from Teak again. I want to stab him with a thirsting sand so I can eat or whatever.
You're going to coup de grace with your sword?
Yeah, so that I can don't have to do anything to Teak again.
Okay.
No poking the Teak.
Yeah, no poking the Teak.
So you thrust your sword into him as you kind of wave to him. Does Tormir hold off when Tegan asks him?
Yeah, I hear him speaking and, you know, just barely manage to stop my fist in time and just kind of look up quizzically.
Yeah. And Tegan mercifully thrusts the sword into him, and you just kind of see the body sort of wither and shrink a little bit. And did you have any damage on you at all, Tegan?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so you don't heal anything.
No.
But But the thing is you feel like you are starting to get really hungry, and now you feel like you are extremely well-sated.
Mechanically, how often do I have to kill something or hurt something a day?
Every couple days. At least once every other day.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to be a fatal blow. It just has to be enough to deal damage.
Okay.
Just a gentle stabbing.
Just a gentle stabbing.
Just the tip.
By the way, a side effect of this, by the way, the curse, since you can't ingest anything, you are no longer able to use potions.
Can I still heal myself, though?
By stabbing people.
With magic, you can still use your spells to heal yourself or anyone else. It's just, if you have, let's say, a potion of cure light wounds, the moment you pour it into your mouth, it turns into sand.
Awesome.
Sad times.
So, all right. Well, yeah, you finished off this kind of mutated monster and...
poor thing.
And Tegan finished putting it down. The kind of mutated skin starts to melt away a little bit, and you see that it was a... it looks like some sort of like a cat, as far as you can tell, like a large cat, maybe a tiger. The mutated skin kind of makes it hard to decipher exactly what it is. But it was definitely some sort of a large cat that got affected by, as far as you can tell, whatever this Art of Matter stuff is.
Would burning it be a way to clean the taint out of it, or is it something, or if we just, I would hate to affect the rest of the forest.
This is so unnatural, you don't really know, but it's probably not a bad idea.
Okay. So I would, we probably should, did it look like all of the damage was made by this one creature, or do we think that there are others like it in the woods?
Well, this is almost 2 days out from where you need, or no, I'm sorry, almost a full day out from where the location was back in the original city that you were all in.
What?
I'm sorry, not you, but the rest of the group.
In Nishtune.
Oh, okay.
Not Nishtune.
No, not Nishtune. Okay, right, the other city. All right.
Yeah.
But back to where you originally were. And to get back there... it would be a full day. So if this thing made it a full day's travel out, you can only assume there's likely others like it that have escaped. But this while this was a challenging encounter, this is not something that's likely going to take down entire civilizations.
I just worry about the kids.
Yeah, that's true.
So at this moment in time, I'd probably tell the group that I had noticed that this showed the same signs of the stuff we had back in the original city, and explain, that I think this escaped from there. Did we at any point tell them the history of what we're searching for and why we're searching for it?
Nope.
Because they haven't really... as far as we know, we're parting ways right now. So, I think if we have the conversation that they stick with us, then I think that's when we say the whole conversation, right? So at this point, it's like, hey, Jethal, I think we should burn this corpse and burn the trees just to make sure that we don't know how this spreads or if it spreads. So just to be sure, I think we should probably do that.
Wait, those of you guys who are wondering, that original city is called Incanavis.
That's right. Yep.
So as we're talking, I'm starting to gather branches, and we could probably use the trees to burn the body, so then we can contain the spread of the gross stuff.
Yeah, just do a produce flame on it. It's a cantrip for me and Jethal, and just burn it, right?
Yes.
But I would want to stick around just to make sure that the forest doesn't get burned.
Yeah, and you're able to do a controlled burn well enough to easily prevent nothing else but itself from burning. And as far as you can tell, it has cleansed the taint enough that you're confident that it won't spread at this point. But that being said, if this is out here, who knows what else is? So you and your group quickly after the fire both flares up and then eventually smolders down. You quickly make your way, not wasting any time, onward towards Incontivus to get back to Master Ganthus.
And yeah, we've got to leave now, so we would love for you guys to join us and come with us. We don't know what else is out there, but your skills are, you know, just immeasurable for what we're trying to do. We can fill you in on the way out on what our mission is, but we're down a person. We're going to need all the help we can get.
I'm here to help. Whatever you guys need.
So, my, sorry, I can't think right now. My master was, he wanted me to go with them, right?
Correct, yeah. Balatius told you that earlier on, independent of the rest of the group, had that he thought you were ready to seek your fortune on your own whenever you feel the time is right.
Okay. Well, I just didn't want to, if he was expecting me back, to just take off and haven't been concerned.
Nope on out.
Yeah. Just be like, all right, I'm done now. Thanks, bye. See you later. So I would have left with the thought of that I would be heading to continue on my real life experience and make my way in the world.
So do you accept?
Sure.
All right. So we're now five platypi gang.
The five platypi. And by the way,
platypi.
I think that was Hup's doing. So if you guys want to change that, you guys are always welcome to. Or out of memoriam to Hup, you can always remain.
Out of memoriam.
Yeah. So it would be the platypi memoriam.
There you go.
Something like that.
I can't spell that. I don't know if I can do something I can't spell.
Well, while our adventurers think if they want to call themselves the Platypi Memoriam or not, they now count themselves two greater in number, despite
three.
Having lost one. So, yeah, Francis, of course.
You can't forget Francis.
So, after losing one member, they added three, and their number of six members continues on back towards Incontivus to help Master Ganthus with whatever is going on with the Art of Matter and bringing the stone back. But what will happen and what is going on with Master Ganthus since they last left off nearly 5 weeks ago, we'll have to wait till next time to find
five
out.
5 weeks.
Thanks again, everyone, for listening to this episode of Paper, Pencil, Dice. Again, don't forget, reach out to us on Facebook, we have a Discord server, you can reach out to us by email, you can reach us at paperpencildicepodcast@gmail.com. If you have any questions about the podcast, want to just tell us that you think we're awesome or that our podcast is absolutely terrible, whatever you want to tell us, we'd love to hear from you.
You want to heap praises on Francis?
Yeah, if you want to heap praises on Francis, or if you want to make fan art of Francis, no matter what you want to do. Let us know, and heck, if someone sends us any cool artwork or creations you make about the podcast, we will happily share them out through social media. So, anyway, till next time, everyone, keep gaming.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Paper, Pencil, Dice. Reach out to us at paperpencildicepodcast@gmail.com. Join us next time to find out what our heroes get into next on Paper, Pencil, Dice.